بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله لأجل الله سبحانه وتعالى for this opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir. This 14th day of Ramadan, 1426 years after the Hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. Inshallah, today we can continue with Surah Al-Baqarah, and today inshallah we shall start from the 28th ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. Is that correct? I think the last one will be too close. The 27th ayah. It says, الَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And that's the 27th ayah. And we were explaining the khasara that will happen to men. And we first started with the khasara that will happen to those who died as Muslimun. Isn't it? And we said that, for instance, if one died as a Muflis, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, if he is resurrected in the ranks of the Al-Muflisun, that he will be Al-Khasir. But his khasara is not as much as that of the kafir, but he will be khasir of the same. His khasara, his loss, will be that all his works of ibadah will be wasted and will be given to other people because he teaches them. They will have cheated either by means of backbiting or by means of taking away what belongs to them. So, like we say, by sleeping with their wives and things like that. If you trample upon anybody's rights, you steal from anybody's soul without any delil that is backed by the Sharia, then you will be a loser on the day of resurrection. And your loss will be that your works of ibadah for which you were supposed to be rewarded, or for which you may even have obtained some rewards, you will lose all these rewards to the person or persons that he teaches. And if you no longer have any reward, and that person has not been fully paid back, then his sin can be transferred to you. And so any person who finds himself in that state will be a loser. Then the second and the most dangerous loss will be that of the kafir. Because that loss to be suffered by a Muslim will not be a complete loss. Because he will only be punished for the sins that have been recorded against him. After which, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit him into a Jannah. Because anybody who has a mu'min will never be a complete loser. So he will just lose for some time, and then he will get back all that because of his iman. But anybody who dies a kafir will have died a complete loser. In which case, there is nothing like getting out of Jahannam and going to Al-Jannah. There is nothing like that for the kafir. The kafir dies as a kafir is saved. But why on earth there are some good deeds that the kafir will come with this attracts reward. He will lose them if he dies without repenting. But if he repents and accepts Islam and says, La ilaha illallah, وَهُوَ يَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ, he says the kalima La ilaha illallah, and he says it seeking Allah's forgiveness and meaning to be a Muslim by that kalima. If he says it like that, all those good deeds that he may have done, and those good deeds without the acts of ibadah, because he cannot be rewarded for any act of ibadah as long as he is still a kafir. But if he helps the poor, if he provides medicine for the sick, and things like that, all those activities are supposed to attract reward. And there will be reward for them, because مَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. So there is a reward for all the khair done to human beings. Not act of ibadah, because he has not satisfied the conditions to have his act of ibadah accepted. But if he does all those other good deeds, there will be reward for him. If he now embraces Islam before he dies, his reward will be given to him fully. That's why Allah says that amongst us are the Kitab. Anybody who embraces Islam, he has two rewards. Unlike the person who found himself a Muslim and does good deeds, he has this reward for them. The two will be the reward for accepting the Injil, even though it now became interpreted, but at least we haven't been in that form. And then the reward for also accepting Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there is something waiting for him that he will lose if he dies as a kafir, wal-iyaz billah. So now, the next ayah is talking about people who become kuffar, and it's telling human beings his or her origin and how created has been. That's, I'm going to read in the next two ayahs also about creation. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about those who will be losers, I will say that we will not be amongst those losers and you will say. So Allah says, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ السَّمِيعِ الْعَلِيمِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ مِنْ هَمْزِهِ وَنَفْخِهِ وَنَفْثِهِ كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم ثم إليه ترجعون هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات وهو بكل شيء عليم.
So Allah says, كيف تكفرون بالله وكنتم أمواتا فأحياكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم ثم إليه ترجعون. Allah سبحانه وتعالى is talking to those who have refused to believe what he has commanded them to believe. Mufassir says, يَقُولُ تَعَالَى مُحْتَجًّا عَلَى وُجُودِهِ وَقُدْرَتِهِ وَأَنَّهُ الْخَالِقُ الْمُتَصَرِّفُ فِي عِبَادِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, giving a hujjah, reason, proof, that he exists and that he has power to do all that he wants to do, which he has decreed he will do, وأنه الخالق. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that He is Al-Khaliq. He is the creator. One who creates without any sample. Al-Mutafarras Sikh-Badi. And after creation, He is the one who has power over His creatures. So He not only creates, but He has power over all that He has created. If man creates, or if man invents, man does not have power any longer over what he has invented. If one invents a car, or somebody manufactures a car, a company manufactures a car, once the company, the car or cars have been bought by their distributor, or once they have been given to the distributor, there are some things that they will not even answer questions over. If some force develops in the car, then the manufacturing company will not be answerable, will not be responsible for that fault. So the distributor will have themselves to blame over that fault. If the distributor now sells to individuals who buy from them, either companies or just individuals who want to use them, even though they are guaranteed, but the guarantee has limits. There are some folks that will come to the car that the neither the distributors nor the manufacturers will be responsible for. So the person in whose hands the car was at the time that the fault developed will have to be the one that will be responsible for the fault. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always in charge of His creatures. Whatever He creates, He could blame you if something happened to you, but He could have stopped the thing from happening to you if He had willed that the thing would be stopped. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still has power over His creation, even after He would have created whatever He had decreed to create. That's what Allah is telling us here. So Allah says, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ أي كَيْفَ تَجْحَدُونَ وَجُودَهِ أو تَعْبُدُونَ مَعَهُ غَيْرَهِ. Allah says, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ. How come that you are now disbelieving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتَ, and you were, before His creation, dead, فَأَحْيَاكُمْ, and He gave you life, ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ, and thereafter He shall take your life again, ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ, then He shall give you life again, ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, isn't it? And after that, you shall return to Him. That's what the ayah says. Now he says, أَيْنْ كَيْفَ تَجْحَدُونَ وُجُودًا. How come you are denying the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How come you are saying you are disbelieving Allah's existence? You are saying that Allah does not exist, or how come you are worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or why should you be worshipping somebody else or something else along with Allah? There is a difference between worshipping somebody along with Allah and just worshipping other than Allah. Because those who worship other than Allah may not worship Allah. They may just decide that Allah does not exist at all. And they now will say that some other thing or person is now worthy of worship, not Allah at all. Some others will say, we believe in Allah, we worship Allah, and we believe that He created us. But then, we also believe that the jinns have the power to kill or to leave us alive. Therefore, we shall also worship the jinns. Or some even believe that yes, Allah created us, yes, Allah decides what happens to human beings, yes, so-and-so person. That if I do not obey him, there is no way I can get what I want. Therefore, I will do whatever he wants. And after that, I go back to Allah and say, please forgive me. I go back to Allah and say, astaghfirullah. But then, I will have to do whatever he wants. Because that is the only place I can get what I want. So people worship human beings rather than Allah, or worship human beings along with Allah. So even though they worship Allah, they also worship some other thing. Some even worship their talisman. So that even though they say, عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ, even though they say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, even though they say, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, even though they make all of those statements, يَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, they say with their mouth that which their hearts do not actually believe. So they just make claims, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Amongst mankind, you will find people who say, we believe in Allah, we believe in the last day, while they actually do not believe. And some of them even think that they are deceiving Allah. You see, sometimes when we see that the deen of Allah will set us something positive, we say we believe in the deen. When we now see that, no, holding on to deen now will not make you, it will not be positive. So we say, okay. The deen of Allah can wait now. When we have achieved that through some other means, we can come back to the deen of Allah. I think the people that do this most now are politicians. Actually, I know a politician who some years ago said, you know, Allah did not answer the prayers of Muslims. But they will not be like the Muslims were at that time. They will be with the Christians. And they will be with the Jews. And they will be with the Christians. Because Allah does not answer the prayer of the Muslims. So they worship America in those days. They worship the head of state in those days. And not the people like him. Now that it has turned sour, he now realizes that Allah is superior to all those others. So now he knows that Allah answers the prayers of Muslims. So he, along with the Muslims now, are praying that Allah gives it to a Muslim now. You know, there is one politician in this town that is called Idris Ibrahim Kuka, the live senator. You know him? The live senator now. He has been senator and senator and senator. In 2003, when they were campaigning for Obasanjo, he was telling Muslims that people are saying that he should vote for Muslims, that he should vote for Bukhari because he is a Muslim. Have you forgotten that the deputy of Bukhari is a Christian? If Bukhari dies, that deputy will inherit and become the head of state. But if Obasanjo dies, the one that will become head of state is him. That the one that will take over will be a Muslim. So vote for that one and keep it there. But now it was the deputy of Bukhari that died. I don't know what he said. So if they had allowed Bukhari to be there and his deputy had died, maybe a Muslim would have taken over as deputy. But he didn't think of that possibility. Because that time his eyes were closed. He wanted Obasanjo to be there so that he would continue to talk and talk and talk. Now that he has talked and he is getting talk, he is now saying, let's vote for Muslims now. Let's now come back to Islam. Now that they have taken a leave, let them now come back temporarily. So that when they get what they want, they will now take a leave again from Islam. So he went to a gathering and was telling them that. And then after he had campaigned for the so-called Islam now, they suggested that he was the one against it before. And now he started giving torture. Torture of his Lord and Savior. The torture of the person that he worshipped. General IDD. The person that very many people worship now. You know, some people prefer IDD to Allah now, whether they accept it or not. Even though they come to Allah. Because they believe strongly now that if you call Allah, 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 and say, Allah, that's IDD. If he does not accept you, Allah, he doesn't get it. You will lose no matter what happens. Even if Allah approves, you will lose. I say, don't you know that's what they say? That's the impostor. They say, no matter what happens, that's the implication. Whether Allah accepts or not, if IDB does not accept, he will not win. So to get it, that thing you want, you will not get it, because IDB does not want you to get it. And so he started campaigning for that law before. And when he brought out the poster and gave the first person that one point, he gave to the second person that one also saw it in pieces. Gave to the third person that one also squeezed it, saw it and threw it away. And then he took the rest of the pocket. So you know, politicians more than most other people now do this more. Even though a lot of other Muslims also find themselves in this trouble. Some people worship Allah, even farmers. Those who sweat to earn their living. Farmers. Even they worship other than Allah. Not only those who use talismans. They go to the farm, they bury a child in the middle of the farm. This five-fold work they have done. They believe that by burying that child, yes, the harvest will be good. So some people even bury their own children. I was told of one man in around our village, you know, a few years ago, who did that to their child. Actually, the mother of the child suspected. I mean, this was the child's father. So the police have said, don't go to farm of the child. But somehow she smelled that. And when the man went, he followed him. He didn't know. He followed behind. And when he got to the farm, the man just killed the boy and buried the boy. When he was coming back, he had a banner, or he had an axe waiting for him. And when the man came back, he said, he took it to him too. And then they went to the village head. What happened? What got into you? Why did you do this? He said, this is what he did. This is what he did. He went to the farm and showed the body. And the village head said, well, go and bury him now. It's not that. And what he did was that he would prosper. He says La ilaha illallah, he says La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, yet he says that by worshiping others along with Allah, he can get what he wants. Kaifa takfuruna billah? Why do you not succeed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is not done by a Muslim. Some other people leave their houses and forget their talismans at home. After traveling for 200 kilometers, they remember, and my liar is at home. They say, oh, Jabba, wait for it. What is happening? They say, no, you can go. I forgot something. That person will come back home, 200 kilometers again, to the talisman, and then go back. So he has traveled 400 kilometers now without the talisman. And he has come back home safely. But somehow he believes that without the talisman, something will happen to him. So for those 400 kilometers, why didn't he die? Why did he have an accident? Maybe he should be asking himself such a question. Why didn't anything happen to you for those 400 kilometers? If you now live and believe that other God will be responsible for your life, why not ask yourself what happened when you were in the womb for 9 months? Did any doctor look after you? Did you have any talisman in your mother's womb? Did you even know how you managed to breathe? Did you know your source of water? You didn't know. Even your mother didn't know. She only knew who you were when she gave birth to you. She was probably unconscious when you came up. But she saw you later. Because Allah was taking care of you. How can you now come and start denying or arguing about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or how can you come and start making contact along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَكُلْتُمْ أَمْوَاتٍ فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you to life when you were dead. Dead in the sense that you had no life and you had no link with life. نبي آدم عليه الصلاة والسلام. When Allah was going to create him, there was no sample. There was no sperm. Was there? No sperm. So he got started, he could later become sperm. It was after he created Adam that he created the sperm in Adam, which is now the human being. The sperm. That's the human being now. But he had created Adam before he created the sperm. So he actually created you out of nothing. He created you out of dust, and dust has no relationship with the human being. The skin is not dust. The blood is not dust. The teeth, nothing. He just made it out of nothing. And then he gives you life. That's why on the day of resurrection, the kuffar will be telling Allah, you created us. Ahyaytana thnatayn. Amartana thnatayn. That's how it is. You killed us twice. You give us life twice. كيف تكفرون بالله وكنتم امواتا. That's the first death. That death means that we were not living then. Our life was not created. That was death for us. It was the sun that was created then, and then the sun was used to now give us life. ثم وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. When you were dead, he gave you life. He created Nabi Adam out of dust. The dust has no life. The sun has no life as we have it now. But he created our life out of the dust. And then we were living. So كُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ. And after this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the life. And then he will kill you, so he will take back the life. When he takes back the life, it will go back to where it was before he created it initially. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ. And then he will bring you back to life again after that second death. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And after that second death, you will go back to him and then have life again. So that when you go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you die, you sit on there. It is to Allah that you shall go back. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Like Allah says, وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Allah says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. ثم البشر عن النار وادخل الجنة فقلت. After that, after this second death, Allah keeps talking about your life in the hereafter. He doesn't talk about it here again. So the Muslim does not believe in ghosts. Ghosts do not exist. So these things that you want, in which it is said that somebody died, and after his death, he came back as a ghost. I was with hunting some people who may have offended him or her when he or she was alive. Those things want you to become kuffar. Because if at any time you get to believe that is actually a ghost, then you will have belief that after death, upon his liar. Because that man who died did not talk to you. The life that he has now is Hayatul Barzakhiyah. There is no relationship between him and you now, nothing. He can be shown what you are doing. He can see what you are doing. Allah can decide to show him in his Hayat. But there will be no contact between you, no communication between the two of you. He is in a different life from yours. There is an authentic hadith that you seem to tell it to the hadith of Sahihah, that when some of your brothers die, sometimes they will be shown what they do on earth. While he used to think you were a mujahid, at the time you will be committing zina, he will be shown, hey, look at what your brother is doing. So he will say, oh, so this man was actually not who I thought he was. Or vice versa, or you're doing as the actor behind, he'll be shown, and he'll be happy that yes, you are who he thought you were. There'll be something like that. But contact between you, no, no contact. So when people now say that when you are doing the dhikr, that trouble of this and that will come to the place, and say, and sit on the white cloak that you spread, tell the person he is a liar. That shape is in his Hayah Barzakhiyah. There is no way he can come back to this earth and stay somewhere. He's gone, he's gone. And Barzakh is a thick curtain. A curtain like a wall between you, a fence. Iron curtain for that matter. There's no way you can see through it. So their lives are like that in relationship with us. There is no meeting point. So believing that the Prophet will come and stay where you are, where you are being so sedition, or that Sheikh Tijani, or Sheikh this, Sheikh that, will come and do this and stop that, and so there is nobody that can do that. Nobody can do it. So after this death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after the death, he will bring you back to life. And after he gives you that life, it's to him automatically that you will come. This is an authentic hadith. You will see it in Ahkam al-Janayib, in which Al-Albani talks about what, you know, brings the hadith that talks about what happens to man after his death. It was actually not reported by Albani, he just included it in his book. It's an authentic hadith. He says that in the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying after somebody had been buried, that when any of you die, his life will be restored and some angels will come to him. If he was a good person, so and so and so will transpire between them. They will take the life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they take the life, each sama that they cross, the malaika will come there and be welcoming them and will be asking whose soul is that? What is that thing that has such a good fragrance? And they will say, it's this sacred servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like that and like that and like that till they get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After which he will be sure where his place of abode will be. Then he will be brought back and then somebody very handsome with a good fragrance, with a good look, very shiny, will come to him. I will be speaking very good words to him. And he will say, who are you, my friend? And he will say, I'm the good deed that you did on earth. So I've come to give you good tidings, glad tidings, inshallah, that Al-Jannah will be yours. Those are the things that the man will be seeing after his death. If it is the opposite of Al-Iyaz Billah, he will have some very ugly looking visitors. That when everything has happened and he is brought back, and that ugly person's house. He will say, you're very ugly and so smelly. Who are you? He'll say, I'm your bad deed. You will have to live with me. You see, so these are the things that people see after their death. Go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what happens. The issue of somebody coming back here. No. The body will rot. It is the soul that will remain. And that soul will be with Allah until the day of resurrection. Do you understand? So. ثم إليه ترجعون. And Allah says, هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات هو بكل شيء عليم. Allah says, هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. That all that is on earth, it is Allah سبحانه وتعالى that has created all of them for you. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has created everything on earth that you see for you, has created them for you. Everything on earth. The lion, the hyena, the leopard. I'm sure you know that the leopards are for you. Yeah? And the lions, are they for you or against you? No, they are for you. They are useful for the earth on which you live. That's why people spend a lot of money trying to preserve and conserve. Is it conserve they say or preserve? All of them, both. Them. Conserve the forest, the animals, and everything because they are useful to us. They make life what it is now. Without them, life wouldn't be what it is now. I'm sure you believe. You don't believe. Believe my brother, they are for you. خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. After creating everything that you see on earth now, with the exception of the human being, after creating the earth, the world is earth now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now went to the creation of the heavens. So this is why it is compulsory for you to believe that Allah is not existing here. Allah is not physically here on earth. Neither is He within the heavens. Because He was existing before they started existing. Before He made the heavens and the earth, He was existing. So are you now saying that after He would have created this thing, He would have come and created it? Where was He saying before? Where was He saying before He created the earth? He had no place? Was He roaming around? Huh? No. He was where He still is. Do you understand? So He created the earth, and after that created the heavens. So He's not in the heavens. When you hear Fisama, it doesn't mean see as in within. It means ala sama. Ala, you know, from the samawat. From the samawat you are up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the heavens and the earth. There is nothing that is at par with Allah. Everything that exists underneath Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is at par with Him, let alone be above Him. So He created the earth and then created the heaven. When you hear istawa, there are two meanings. Just like when you say He took off. You could have taken something off, He Himself could have taken off. When you say something took off, isn't it? If you say took off, you could mean that He left the place and went away. Isn't it? If you say He took off, it could mean He took off something from where it was. Couldn't it mean that? Uh-huh. And it's the same took off that you say. So an istiwa in Arabic would have two meanings. Either you say that He now approached the thing and, you know, approached it, or you know, it's Tawa that he started on it, or you could mean that he started doing that. It depends on how you use it. If you say istawa ala, it means that he is above the thing that he's talking about. Istawa ala means that he is above it. But if you say istawa ila, it means that he now began to do it. So after the creation of the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now created the heavens. Like he said, the heaven was like the, what do you call it, like smoke on top of the earth. Bound like that, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it off and separated it from the earth because they were all together. He decided to separate that and make it a different entity. One, before he now divided and split it into seven. At each there is a very big distance between one and the other, the way they are separated. That's why there is a very big distance between one level of the earth and the other, the way we have separated them. You see how far you dig when you are digging the earth? You see how deep our seas are. What you see beneath the sea, no matter how deep, is still this earth that we have here. It's not yet the second earth. And so we don't know how far away that one is. And then the one after it, like that and like that and like that. That's why Allah says, وَلَا تَمْسِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. If you are walking on this earth, my friend, walk gently. Walk gently. Do it gently. Because this earth you are seeing, if Allah decides to open it, so that it swallows you, because of the day you are walking on it, only God knows the day that you will get to the bottom. You will just keep moving because you don't know the distance. How long it will take you to get to the bottom of the first earth, the first layer, let alone the seventh? Yeah? Look at Jahannam. 70 years for something to get down. Is it the whole of the earth, the sky? No. It's not the whole of the sama. It's not the whole. It's just one little segment. And it takes 70 years for something to travel down like that. If you drop a stone and it's traveling down, you drop it in the hole and it's traveling down, at what speed is it going? You are a scientist, you should tell me. At what speed will it be traveling? Eh? At what speed does the plane travel? Time for question. At what speed does the plane travel? At its best, at what speed is it traveling? It's higher speed. Eh? And at what speed is the stone traveling when you drop it down? Take it to be a very light one. At what speed will it travel? So you see, the earth is a very big thing when you are talking about it. The samawat are also like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth and then created the heaven and made them the way they are now. It's time, inshallah, we'll continue on our next lesson. Bismillah ta'ala. We'll see what the Quran has to say on the hadith concerning the creation. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. What if one dream that he saw the Prophet Muhammad? Is it also shaitan? I think other human beings, you can even see them in your dream. So why can't you see Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I said it's possible if one dies to see them in your dream. Don't I say that? It's possible. But if you now read that he's asking you to go and check that my pocket, you see the person there. That's why I'm saying that it's shaitan. Huh? Even Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all that was there for him to tell you, he told you while he was alive. That's why he's saying, if you want to be guided, follow the things that he has already told you here. That's the only thing that will guide you. Anything that Satan now tells you that he said in his grave will not guide you, because you have not guidance on earth. Do you understand? So it is a process you receive from dead people in your dreams that you should not believe. If you dream that your father was telling you and that woman, I see to that, you should be careful with that. If Satan is telling you a lie, that's what I'm saying. But definitely it's possible to see them in your dreams. Huh? And if you dream that you saw him, then it is Muhammad that you saw. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you actually saw him. And it is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you actually saw. If you saw somebody tall and lanky and bent like this and ugly, but he just shivered, then Muhammad? Or you saw somebody stout, short, and dark. With his nose, as if something was touched on his face. He's not Muhammad. He has to be the way he was. What you will be feeling in your dream will have to resemble the Prophet. So before you believe that it is the Prophet that you saw, you have to know the Prophet. You see, anybody who practices Islam is ignorant. It's just worshiping Satan. Most of the things you will believe will be fake. Huh? Somebody corrected something I said? Huh? Okay. So you see, you have to be sure that the person you saw is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In which case, it will be somebody that, if anybody passes near him, that person will be taller than the stranger that is passing. But when the person passes and is far away, you see that the person is actually taller than Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the person you see in your dream is like that, then he begins to resemble our Lord the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has to have the kind of shine on his head, glow, light complexion that no other person has. So the person you will see will not look like any human. Okay, so, like we were saying, the person you are seeing will have to be exactly the way the Prophet was, before you can confirm that the person you saw was Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think that answers the second question. This one says, may Allah bless him with a pious wife. Just like Allah has blessed me. Only that your wife will not be like my own. Here is question to ask. One, is any nafla allowed when the imam has started the khutbah on a Friday service? Yes, if you are just arriving at the mosque. If you are just arriving before you sit down, you say two rakats, after which you sit down. Secondly, but if not, it is not permissible after khutbah for you to start any nafla. In fact, it's not even permissible for you to stop anybody from doing anything he's doing. That you're just supposed to sit quietly and listen to the khutbah. The second one says, we are told that the Quran is revealed in the month of Ramadan. But what I don't understand, the revelation has to stop for another Ramadan to come, since it was not revealed in one Ramadan. No. Revelation has never stopped for any Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the Quran when He wills. But you know that the revelation of the Quran took place twice. First one, from Allah al-Mahfuz to Baytul Izzah. All of it at Habib. And that is on the night of what? and the majesty you call it? Eh? You call it majesty. Is that word actually majesty? Eh? That's it. Did I answer that question? I think I did. Well, then the second one was in bits, one after the other, at different periods. So if it is said that it is revealed in the mouth of Allah, it is not mean that it came to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of it in the mouth of Ramadan. No. It came in bits for 23 years. But from back to Allah al-Mahfuz to Bait al-Izza in one night in the mouth of Ramadan. Do you understand that? Have I answered the question now? This one says, what is the Islamic point of view on using human urine as a drug? Because I just want to drink one early morning urine. It is very good medicinally. Yes, I have heard Kafira saying that, at least yes, Kafaru. He was actually supposed to be a Muslim, but now she has become something else. He is neither a Christian nor a Muslim. He is a real message, right? They say it's not a religion. Huh? It's just the worship nature or something. Not a religion. So he is on that real message, I think. He says that it's a very good medicine. It's a very good medicine. That your first urine in the day, the very first one, that immediately you just urinate into the coffee to jump in. And you know, there was a day that one idiot was telling me that I had a problem and it was going on and off, and he said, I'm going to tell you something, it's strange, but it works. I have tried it and it worked for me. And you try to it and work. Say, what is it? They take your urine first thing in the morning. Thank you, doctor. It's magic, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never place any cure in it. The second one says, can one use the placenta to make a useful thing like hair additive that will prevent the hair from shedding? I don't even know what you're talking about, honestly. I've never heard that anything like this is done. So I don't know. I've never heard about anything like that. I don't know what the implication is. This one says, what is the planet perspective on polio vaccine? Because we saw on the TV screen on the side of the government of Delta State was immunized with this vaccine. Well, fortunately, we didn't say Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the governor of Delta State. I think you answered the question yourself. To me, polio vaccine, I find, are very suspicious of it. And if it is administered to my child, it is because I was either not there or that I was forced to. But on my own, I will never allow my child to go near it because I don't trust it. The reason why I don't trust it is that if my child had been given for malaria free of charge, I would have prayed for them that Allah should bless them, because that's what I need more. What worries me more is malaria, not polio. I am yet to see in the whole of my village anybody who has suffered from polio. I'm yet to see. Most of the cases we have of people who are paraplegic in this country, wallahi, is not polio. We know how some of those problems happen. Some of them went through these injections that are given in hospitals. That's how some people lost the use of their limbs. Not through polio. The cases we have of polio are very negligible in this country. And if an ailment is not this rampant in a place, and you have one that is killing, polio just makes people cripples if there is anything like that in the first place. But malaria kills. Millions of Africans have died. Millions of Nigerians have died. They have lost health to malaria. We are losing over 100,000 people annually to malaria in this country alone. Yes, even the 5 naira injection for malaria is not free. So how can I believe that my enemies concerning whom Allah has said, إِنَّهُمْ إِنْ يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ يَرْجُمُوكُمْ أَوْ يُعِيدُوكُمْ فِي مِلَّتِهِمْ وَلَنْ تُفْلِحُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا وَلَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعْدَمَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. Allah has said all these things concerning them. He has even said it again in Surah Ali Imran. What did he say? What did he say? How can I believe that such people will now come and spend so much money to save me from trouble? I am suspicious. Because I am suspicious of it, I will leave it alone. If you trust it, you can go ahead and have it. But for me, haram, haram, haram for me. I will never get me out. And I will never advise any Muslim to touch it with a long pole. Never. The way you will run from poison is the way you will avoid it. If it is true, tackle the problems that are disturbing us more. Is it better to stay alive as a people or to die? But you're too late. This is something which is killing people. You haven't done anything about it. But you're spending money on something that we have not even seen. You don't know what polio means. You just hear people talk about it. You don't know what it means. You don't even believe in anything like that. And if it exists, it's not as dangerous as malaria, just simple malaria. Even cancer is doing more damage than polio will do, because cancer is killing. Cancer is killing and badly too. But the treatment for cancer is not free. And that's why we're suspicious of it. Whether there's a problem or not is not my business. I mean, when was he even born? So we will be the one to decide what you do and what you do not do. People here are all part of the governor of Zakat. Before he was born, they were born. So their life never depended on him. He's only a human being. And the holiest one for that matter. This one says, expect him to me for an advice that he needed to do something for herself. Whenever she requested anything from her father, he wouldn't give her. But she knows where the key to her father's safe was kept. One day she took it and opened it and saw a lot of money there, even foreign currency. Can she take from it and use it for what she wants to do? And then tell them or not to touch it. It depends on what she wants to use it for. If it is something that she cannot get but through him, and she does not have any way, any means by which she can obtain the thing herself, and he has refused to give, like food, her food, if she is directly under him, she has responsibility. She is not a matter to marry and be cared for by somebody else. If she is still a minor, she is still under him, it's completely for him to feed her. Or if she is mature but she has not yet gotten her married, she wants to get married, he has refused. She has not yet gotten her husband and she has not gotten one. She is still under him, she can't go and get food herself. And he denies her food, she can take his money and buy food. Or by the hijab that she needs to cover herself. Or by the Quran that she needs to learn. And things like that. Necessity, a barura. He can take his money without his permission to do that. Just like his wife can also take his money to feed the children and take care of herself. If it is his responsibility that he has agreed to sell that. But if it's a car you want to buy, or you want to buy makeup, and things like that, if you take it, you're stealing, it's haram. So that is that. Hello? Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah wa bihamdih. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.